Welcome to another Agri Epicenter seedling session. These seedling sessions offer an opportunity to all Agri Epicenter members to showcase and share their technology or offering, discuss a current topic, and enthuse and encourage collaboration. And today I'm talking to Jimmy Davis, MD of HopsAg. Hi, Jimmy. Tell us a little bit more about your experience in the ag sector and your vision for HopsAg.
Thank you. Thank you, Les. Thanks for the opportunity to come and speak to you today. So I'll give you a bit of my background. So I'm from a farming background. I was brought up on a dairy farm and I went to Harper Adams and did a degree in agriculture. And after that, I ended up in Romania managing a farm for a farmer from Cambridge. I was over there for 3 years. And when I came back, I learned how to speak Romanian and I got into seasonal labour recruitment. And that's really been my career for the last 18 years in the UK. So I worked for a company called Hops, the company I'm with now, for 10 years. And then I worked for a big PLC recruitment company for 7 years. I've got a small farm at home now. And yeah, so the opportunity came up to take Hops over about 10 months ago. So me and a few others took that opportunity. So which is a bit of a strange circle, having started my career with a company and then end up taking it over. It's been a roller coaster ride, but good fun. So where are we going? So Hops was probably the biggest provider of seasonal labour to the fresh produce sector in the country back sort of 10, 15 years ago. It'd be fair to say the business's numbers have gone down over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And we have a recruitment business and we're supplying people to horticulture and fresh produce businesses. A lot of that work now is tied up with government contracts, and we've seen an opportunity for us to work alongside, to work for with our customers in the same way, really. So I think if we sat down with all of our customers and said, what do you actually really want? And the honest answer would be, we want to use less labour. And as a recruitment labour providing business, we make money on providing more labour. So we've taken a bit of a step back from recruitment. We're still doing it, but actually we started up a new arm to the business called Hops AgTech. We started with a very open brief, really, of ultimately, if we look at seasonal labour recruitment, what's it going to look like in 5 or 10 years' time? The honest answer is it's going to change dramatically. It's changing now. Our customers want to deploy technology, find solutions to make themselves more efficient, and also to make their businesses more robust. If we look at the situation now today, there's no guarantee around seasonal labour supply for next year. No one really knows what's happening. And you've got a lot of growers out there who are extremely concerned. So we've got a role to play around helping both farmers and technology companies in bringing this together. And that's the vision for Hops AgTech, really, is being the glue in the middle. So, yeah.
Well, you've touched on a very key item there, which is the need for recruitment and labour in field, and therefore the move to autonomy and robotics to help resolve that. But what are the issues that are your customers facing, and how will Hops AgTech meet their needs?
It's all great sitting down and thinking, right, we're going to take over the world and harvest all of the produce with robots next year. The honest answer is it's just not going to happen, is it? So if we talk to our customers now and look at what challenges they're having, a lot of their challenges around recruitment, labour management, ensuring that people coming into the country are given the correct information, ensuring there's transparency in their labour supply chain, ensuring that people are just told the right thing before they come. So we've we've actually developed our first sort of step into this market. We see is we've developed a piece of software to enable a farm, or anybody involved in a labour supply chain to engage with, if they want to give them better control over the information flow. Because there's nothing more frustrating to a farmer who has 10 people arrive from whichever country they come from, and they haven't been told or they haven't got accurate information for when they arrive. Immediately, just by preparing and getting people here prepared and up to date with what they're coming to, there's an immediate productivity gain because they're prepared for it. If they turn up at a strawberry farm and think they're coming to work in a vegetable packhouse, you are immediately on the back foot. And so our piece of software, we've started rolling it out. We've got quite a journey in front of us in regard to its development. We're really excited about that. And we see that as our first step into this area. It's our first step into this area where we could be one of the recruiters, or we're quite happy not to be one of the recruiters. So we'll just license the software and keep developing and building that to make farms more efficient. Interestingly, we spoke to a big grower recently who we were looking to deploy the software into, and they measured how many times they manually touch data on a seasonal worker within a seasonal worker's journey with them. And they actually touch it 7 times manually during that journey. Now, that's just the farm. That doesn't include the supply chain. So if you think fairly easily with good technology, that could be dramatically improved. Not only cost, but efficiency, accuracy, can all go up significantly. We've measured with one of the early adopters of the software what the cost spend and what the return on investment is, and actually they're approaching 4 times. So for every £1,000 they spend on the software package, they're saving £4,000. So in the region of £4,000. So actually we think we've got a good offer, and it's in a good space. If we look a bit more medium long term, however, the governments, or well, ignore governments and ignore immigration policy. If we go out into countries where workers are coming to pick our produce in this country, it's actually becoming increasingly difficult to find people. So I heard the other day that some Moroccan growers are not growing so much produce because they can't get pickers to pick it, because all the Moroccan people are going to Spain to pick their produce. So this challenge is coming, irrelevant of government policy, irrelevant of immigration policy. You know, we've, as a sector, if we want to grow, we need to automate and adopt technology fairly quickly to address this challenge. We see we've got a role to play in that. We've partnered up with, in some really exciting conversations with some of the robotics companies around helping them develop the job roles, because ultimately robots won't replace people, they'll reduce people and make people more efficient. What do the jobs look like? What does the organizational structure look like around that operation? We have a role to play around supporting their research and development of their products, and also developing the service or the How does this work? And we've got some of those conversations going with companies, because I suppose we do have a background in labour supply and people, and actually we can help those companies design that as they go out into growers. So, I think that's sort of covers that. I've probably gone off on a tangent less, but...
Well, you alluded to there the... importance of data management along with people management, and there are so many bits of software being developed or new ag tech kit that can be used. How do you and your team keep abreast of new services required by farmers in the ag sector?
I suppose we've And we still have a day-to-day operation supplying people into farms and growers. So that is very much at the ground level. It very much comes with the challenges of timesheets, for example, of accurate data from fields to ensure people are paid correctly and costs are done correctly. So we're day-to-day, and while that business is not as big as what it was, we are still involved in that. So we're still out with growers every week just talking about what the challenges are and what they're concerned about. Many growers have called us and actually want to see if we can help them with some of their challenges. Unfortunately, in the current labour market, we can't supply as many people as what we'd like to, but we can still talk to the growers to try and find out those issues. Well, in fact, they're coming to us with those issues. We're also, I think if you're fairly, once you're excited and want to work in something and be involved in it, then you go and find that information. So whether that's sat in the evening on an iPad looking at the magazine subscriptions, reading what's going on, our membership of the Agri Epicentre, we're members of another couple of associations, ag tech associations, and associated with the NFU. My little farm at home is a member of the NFU, so you get every single week those things dropping. You've just got to take the time and read through it. The issues out there, people are picking up the phone trying to find answers. So if you're one of the places they go to, you're sort of at the coalface of it, really.
You've got your finger on the pulse of within the farm sector. So what do you see as the biggest growing area of opportunity for Hops Ag Tech in the future?
I think there's an enormous opportunity if we, let's say, one of our customers that 3 years ago we were supplying 800 seasonal workers to, if we can pick up the phone to them and say, we find a way where you only need 500. That is just an enormous opportunity. And if in 5 years' time that becomes 200 for the same tonnage productivity, that's just an enormous opportunity, really. Helping clients use less people. Also, I think as a farmer's son and, as I said, an agricultural graduate in this country, having spent my summers driving combines, driving tractors and milking cows at home, it's something that I've been brought up in and something I'm quite passionate about, and the rest of my team are, is I find it quite sad, really, that we're not, as an industry, we're not really, really attractive to young people in this country. And I think ag tech in particular provides us with a real opportunity to attract young local British talent into this sector. It's a massive opportunity. And actually, if we can deploy or integrate these systems in the correct way, then actually it's a real opportunity to attract some really bright people into this industry. And I think that's brilliant. One of our customers in particular, who were actually the first people we installed the software to, they're really active and really keen in adopting new technology. And what's really interesting is it's a big business. You go into that business, I'm not sure if I can say this, Les, but all of their management team is very young. They're very keen adopters of technology. They've got apps for managing their farm equipment, apps for field agronomy management. They've got technology across the whole business. And while having spoken to the owner, I know some of that technology has then dropped off because it hasn't quite worked. You can see in that business alone that the talent they've attracted because of their approach to tech, well, I'm sure it's not only because of the technology, it's probably because of the business as well, but I'm sure technology is part of the reason. Whereas if you go to some of the more slightly businesses that are a bit more resistant to some of this thing, I think they find it hard to find talent. So, I think there's a big opportunity for us to be involved in that. So,
I'm sure there is, Jimmy. But you touched on there on the number of apps and the way the youth coming into the market are first adopters. How do you differentiate Hops Ag Tech services from all these other young thrusting companies?
I suppose what we've been quite careful of course, if you think of recruitment, people management on farms, I suppose the first areas you look at is payroll. The second area is probably some form of productivity software, where payroll is a massively crowded market. And to be honest, there are enormous software businesses out there. For example, Sage, I think I can say that. We're never, ever going to compete with a company like Sage. And actually, we don't want to. So our approach has been, how can we plug into the mass-produced areas of the supply chain, I suppose, but then deliver that really quite unique requirement so that farms have. And there's one of the modules in particular we're looking at developing. The immediate feedback we've had around some of the discussions we've had on it is, well, one farm in particular went and built their own software for it, and they used a company that built a lot of packaged software to do it for them, and it didn't work. It worked, but it didn't deliver. That's the right way of saying it. Because our heritage and our experience is in this specific recruitment labor management area, we understand exactly what would work and what wouldn't work. I think also we've seen quite a big market shift in agricultural labour supply in the last 3 years. The introduction of government schemes the insecurity of labour supply has meant that a lot of farms have gone to multiple providers, whereas 5 years ago, there would be a lot of farms who only use one provider. That has created a level of complexity for a farm that has actually added a lot of cost. So that is our first sort of quick win, really, is how do we provide a farm with a platform that brings everything together for them? There's also a couple of really, interestingly, on a farm last week before last up in Scotland, and the farm manager said to me, there's one reason I'm looking at buying this system and you haven't got it in your sales deck, which was interesting. And he said, I want to remove the risk from my recruitment. And at the moment, my recruitment is all in two people's heads and not on a system. So those two people, God forbid, get hit by a bus or leave the business. That business is not in a particularly solid place in regard to their labour supply. So, and I would consider that one of the leading growers in the country. So it's a real area where we think we're in a pretty unique place for. So, yeah.
Well, talking about getting to unique areas for the future, how can AgriEpi help OpsAgTech achieve your aims of growth and development in the AgTech sector?
It's been... If we rewind 8 months, 10 months ago, when we first sort of started reaching out into this area, I think you were one of the first people we spoke to, lads. It was, we had no fixed plan. Our strategy has developed as over the last 6 to 8 months. AgriEpi's sort of network of and understanding of what's happening in the ag tech market, I think, is absolutely invaluable. The conferences, the regular releases of information, and just those newsletters you read in an evening sat at home. That type of flow of information is absolutely invaluable when we're not going into a new sector, we're looking at it differently. And some of the conversations we've had, Les, have been really helpful. And while in an innovative, fast-moving area, you sometimes need to be told, nah, don't think that one's right. I don't think you've said that. Is actually, you're very good at steering us down the lines of where we have a good understanding where the industry is and our customers are. We don't have a good understanding of where technology was. That's developing, and you've got a massive role to help us in that.
Well, thank you. And I hope that we can live up to the bar and just keep matchmaking with other potential collaborators, especially in the robotic and autonomous world. But for now, Jimmy, thank you for your time. And for anyone else listening, please go to the Agri-Epicenter webpage and you'll find us there with all of our podcasts.